bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's that time of the early morning that we look at our international news. We look at global affairs, continental affairs, and we look at the discussion which affects our bread and butter, particularly in the context of Namibia. What are we doing? And also, what need to be done, particularly in responding to global issues, and also considering that we have our people in mind. How far are we moving in terms of human development, and also in terms of Namibian economy? And, it's like indicating to you that the conversation that you enter into and the time that you spend in conversation define where you are going and also define your interests. And on this Friday, particularly when we are indicating that March is coming to an end, and by the time that you are waking up, we are already in December. How much of the time you are spending in the relevant conversation? And when we are speaking about the relevant conversation, we are not saying we should not involve into social affairs, but there are conversations that not only keeping you alive, but keep you secured and keep your resources secured. How long do you spend in, relevant conversation? Either it's economic conversation, either it's conversation on policies, either it's conversations on community development, and that on its own will be able to define you and also where you are going. And remember, today we also have the Villager newspaper, like every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And on this Friday, we'll also be able to give you the content and also context of what is in the Villager newspaper, especially when it comes to economic development. People, they are looking, the main guy today, or the main important person today, especially when it comes to the future of Namibia. People are waiting to hear what the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy going to announce, particularly when it comes to oil review, to say what will happen. And everybody is listening, and also to say, is it going to be a good news, or is it going to be an understandable news, or is it not going to be a good news at all, particularly when it's coming to oil review, especially when it's come to the price of oil. We are waiting, and it's good to be a realist, but it's also good to be positive, and also to see how what is in the pocket of our government, particularly in coming up with a backup plan, and also protecting the economy and the resources of the country. Because when you look at what is happening in the Middle East, war is intensifying. It seems like it's not going to end soon. If Iran is indicating that it's mobilizing 1 million fighters for possible ground invasion, you can already see that it's very difficult stuff out there. And who will be the first man to make history to touch the ground of Iran? Because so far, well, now it's going to be a month. There's nobody who's stepping. There's no force that step on the land of Iran so far, apart from air superiority. There's nobody who touched that land. We want to see. And we also want to see people who are going to get medals, because in the history of American war, they are always veterans of the struggle. I mean, veteran of war. Either it's Afghanistan, either it's Iraq. We see who are those guys who are going to touch the ground of Iran, where, these global superpowers are fighting each other. But let us look at what we have for now before we look at the content of the conversation, to say, before we look at the lesson that we have to learn from fast-growing economies. Let us look at what is really happening around the world. They stated that more African countries are reporting you know, the death of their citizens, particularly fighting for Russia in its war in Ukraine. The report have been circulating countries, you know, Kenya, I think it's the beginning of this month, they've given an intelligence report where they indicated that young men from Kenya, like also young men from other countries in Africa, they are being tricked to go and fight for Russia in the war against Ukraine. And it's not only Kenya, South Africa too. It's not only South Africa, Uganda too, Nigeria too. There have been the reports of people dying between, you know, dying in Ukraine, particularly fighting for Russia. Then the question that you need to ask yourself is that why are the African young people find themselves in this situation? Is it really because of what they want? But here is what you need to know. It is stated that these young Africans who find themselves in the conflict zones, they are lured or they are tricked to go and fight in the side of Russia through, you know, online shadow agencies promising them lucrative jobs, and they find themselves signing contracts in Russia there. Then, you know, they end up in conflict zones. And it's indicated that when it comes to the case of Zimbabwe, it is indicated that more than 60 Zimbabweans were still trapped, or they are still trapped in the front line. They are still trapped in the front line. And there have been a report of a lot of young Africans find themselves in conflict zones. Some they volunteer. Some they go because of desperation of finding a job. Then the question that somebody should always ask ask yourself a question to say, how vulnerable is Namibia? How vulnerable is Namibian young people, particularly to these agencies? Because they still not clear information how many Namibians went there. But there is a possibility of that thing to happen. Or maybe it has already happened. Because what is happening to African countries is because of desperation of finding job. Because these agencies are very clever. Because they even look at your statistics, the level of your desperation and what you are good at, and they find out that there are many Namibians who, you know, studied a certain subject, or there are many Namibians who are looking for jobs, and I think it's also a matter of awareness and giving information to say if you find something online that is too good to be true, that meet all your requirements, and that want to do everything to you without you putting on efforts. Remember that in this world, there is nobody who can give you something for free. You have to work for it. And that is the nature of life. And if you find yourself in the comfortable zone and everybody is promising you everything, remember that either you are tricked or you don't know what you are doing. So that's why Zimbabwe is also concerned to say how come my people find themselves in those zones. It's also stated that, you know, recruitment drive across the continent. Zimbabwe has become latest to announce that their nationals have died on the front line. And on Wednesday, stated that 15 people were lulled to Russia through social media post by shadow agency promising lucrative jobs, and they have lost their lives. This is not a matter of legitimate military service. That is what Sonda Zenu has stated, and is a minister of information from Zim. And it's a sophisticated scheme. It's stated that it's a sophisticated scheme of deception, exploitation, and human trafficking that has already resulted into loss of Zimbabweans' lives. And 60 of them are trapped in the front line. And looking at the side of Ukraine, stated that Ukraine last month said it had identified more than 1,780 citizens from 36 African countries fighting in Russian ranks. From 36 African countries fighting in Russian ranks. The question is that how safe are we? Do you also have our people there? Can you please check on your cousin who traveled abroad? Either he's on the front line or maybe he is where he was supposed to be. And I'm not discouraging anybody to get a scholarship or a fellowship, but we need to be very careful, and we need to scrutinize those things. We also need to make sure that we learn from those who went there. Because if you are the only one, very lucky, and you don't want to tell people, there are people who, you know, they like surprising people. To say, no, I'm going to surprise them. I'm going to surprise my village people. By the time they look at me, I'm in Dubai, for example, or I'm in Manchester City, or I'm in London. By the time they wake up, I'm in New York. There's this agency, this which do A, B, C, and D. And let me tell you one thing. If you want to surprise people, before you surprise yourself, look at what you are doing, and also understand that there is a lot of development in the world. That's why if you speak about the six African countries, then understand that the possibility is very high that we may also be a target as Namibians. That's why it's always good. Yes, you want to surprise people, but they will also be surprised more when they found out that you are in the military uniform there, fighting. You lose your life, you lose your legs, or your life becomes so miserable. And once you get into those countries, it's very difficult for you to come out. Because if somebody say you have to serve for 2 years because before I give you your passport, and that is what you have to do, and this is the amount of money, you'll find yourself without any option. And it's a dangerous zone also. You don't know how many of them they were threatened to. Because if you look and expand that scope, you also look at the case of South Africa also, to say one of the reason Duduzile Sabuda was removed from parliament is that case where she was even accused by her own sister to say, no, you are recruiting people to go and fight in Russia. It was even a family case. But that is the conversation, and at the center of that, the question that should be asked is to say, why do you think Africa become a target? Africa become a target because we have a resource that no other continent has. That is population of young people. Africa is younger than it has been. And there is a lot of potential in Africa. But the problem that we have in Africa is that opportunities are not given, are not created, and young African people end up doing anything. And I like always giving an example of Namibian young people. You find a young person with a master's degree, with a diploma, with what, but things that this person is doing, you ask yourself a lot of questions to say, what if this person was given an opportunity to do something better? Things that this person is doing, things our people are doing to survive. You think otherwise, but that is it. It's desperation of jobs. And opportunities too. And also to say, if we have to create our jobs, our own, is the environment really conducive? Yes, we have youth fund, but is that the only thing also? Is it really that everybody is going to benefit from that? Do we have clear mechanism too? But that is just to expand on it to say, your poverty can also be a vulnerability, particularly in the point of desperation. But let's continue. Let's look at one of the very interesting news, and we are always indicating to everybody to say the aspect of economic scenario planning matters, because the world is shifting than it has been before. And somebody who is at a crossfire, at the firing line, especially with global power, is South Africa. Somebody who is at the firing line, especially with global power, is South Africa. So let's look at the short commercial break. Then from there, we'll be able to look at South Africa and the G7. And, South Africa was disinvited because of the pressure of the USA. And also to say, when South Africa is disinvited by USA, what does it mean to South Africa? Is South Africa a direct enemy for United States of America? And when South Africa is a direct enemy to the United States of America, what does it mean to the future of global economic powers? And when you look at that, you can also ask yourself a question to say, if South Africa is at the firing line of United States of America, particularly in terms of the economic warfare, who is going to suffer more? And what cut do we have? What cut are we going to play, particularly to protect ourselves from things that we don't have control over, especially when SA and USA, they are not in good terms, because you know, South Africa was invited by France to attend the G7. And the G7 is a group of powerful economies, the top seven powerful economy in the world. And that is where you have United States of America. That is where you have UK. That is where you have countries such as Germany, Japan, Italy, France, Canada, and United Kingdom. And, you know, before you come to G20, you go to G7. That is the top powerful countries in terms of the economy. But United States of America say, no, yo, look, France, if you are inviting that guy, if you are inviting that country, we are not coming. And it's either us or South Africa must go. And it's confirmed, South Africa is disinvited. And you look at the future, you are asking yourself a lot of questions to say, this tension of two economic powerhouses, because South Africa is an economic powerhouse of Africa, and the USA is an economic powerhouse of not the world only, but also of America, North and South. But it's a very influential country, particularly in terms of the economy. And look at South Africa disinvited. The question and the concern should always be with us. We may speak and say, no, we are very far. We are not far. We are not far. Because if this economic fight continues, we are still going to be caught at the crossfire. Because let's hope the strategy which South Africa have used to survive tariffs can still save them, particularly to the future economic threats or future economic wars with powerful countries. Because if South Africa goes down, then I'm not saying we are going down. We are most likely to be affected. But let's just look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue with the conversation.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamwiri nawa ninge kwa Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honore Tatuime, Bari Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bari, No Heali, Ileko Berewa, Nora Hetatu Natu, Bari O Hetatu Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, The Eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Eagle
My friend,
staff.
Why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, The Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news?
Easter's cheaper with extra low prices at Furman Brock. Get 2 kg Tastic rice for $36.99. A 2-litre Coca-Cola for only $21.99. 2 kg Sunlight hand or auto washing powder for $54.99. And 9 Twin Saver 2-ply toilet rolls for only $69.99. Hop on over to vurmanbrock.com to see more Easter bargains at WB. We care.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economy news?
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. The eye.
Yeah, well, we are at South Africa. It's indicated that the spokesperson for the president of Cyril Ramaphosa said that Paris has withdrawn its invitation due to sustained pressure from USA, because South Africa was supposed to attend the G7 summit and also maybe look for opportunities. Either he's joining or either he's also leveraging on those opportunities, because that is the top seven. And, this thing of not allowing South Africa to be part of the big guys, because if South Africa will go there, I think Africa also go there. It really says a lot. But the French President Emmanuel Macron is the one who personally asked Cyril Ramaphosa to partake in G7, especially during the G20 summit. And since then, the South African relation with the USA have been deteriorating. Look at what have happened the whole of 2025. Firing each other's ambassadors, or firing, SA ambassadors in USA. And also the aspect of Cyril Ramaphosa went and also discuss with Trump. But things did not go well. And the recent things that happened is that, South Africa also, the recent thing that what happened is that South Africa have also summoned the U.S. ambassador, especially at the beginning of this year, when he gave controversial comment about the court decision. And since then, the relationship continued deteriorating. However, there's one statement that Mangwenya has stated, that the spokesperson of the president stated, that South Africa continue and is committed to have constructive relation with USA. And he also stated that that relation between two countries will outlive the current White House term of office. And if you look at this term, simply saying they are going to be in relation with the USA, even after Trump is gone, because the current administration with South Africa, they are not in good term. And it has cost, although it did not destroy completely the economy of SA, it has cost South Africa a lot of money, especially when it become a victim of tariff, and also victim of economic pressure from USA. The question is that if this thing continue, how are we going to navigate? Because remember, South Africa is not the only hope for Africa. but it's a country which has connected Africa to both the East and the Western countries. It's a member of BRICS, so a member of G20, and was the only country that maintained good relations with, both sides of the world. But how things are now. And you also look at Ramaphosa. Cyril Ramaphosa, the president who is a very good negotiator. Seems like he's also tired of, moving up and forth. That's why when you look at what is happening currently, you really see that the relationship is not how it has been. But that relationship should always be asked to say, if we have to use our scenario planning and not the matter of being a pessimist, looking into the future, to say, if SA has to come, I mean, if USA have to come to people that are not in favor of their policies, when our friend is hit, when our big brother is hit with economic pressure, obviously we are going to feel it. The question is that, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to have a backup plan? What will happen moving into the future? And yeah, while we are there, looking at the same case, I mean the same country, it is indicated that the South African chief of police is charged, and is also expected to appear in court next month. This Fanny Masemola, the head of South African Police, South African Police Commissioner, and the acting police minister, that is Professor Kachalia, has indicated that the president of South Africa still has to make a decision, especially after the national commissioner is charged. And he stated that he's not charged with corruption, as explained, but he also indicated that the charges are very serious, and what do we expect, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe on Monday, is for Ramaphosa either to relieve the national commissioner from his duty, to suspend him, or to fire him, due to what is happening. And South Africa is the only country currently, particularly in SADC, with two police ministers. One is suspended, but still on the payroll. One is acting, and now you have an acting police minister. You have a suspended police minister. Now you have a national commissioner of police who is charged and has to appear in a court. Then you also have a deputy, a national commissioner who is suspended. Then you really have a very serious case to deal with. A very serious case to deal with. Then it's also the only country. There's no deployed its army in the street, especially in the crime, prone areas, because the police is not able anymore. It's also a country with the highest, crimes in Africa, especially where you have an average of 60 people being murdered every day in South Africa. 60 people every day in South Africa. Your calculation, they are not dying because they are sick, they are being killed. Not dying, not about those who are dying of a car accident. They have been killed. 60 people being murdered every day in South Africa. And that is how the level of crime South Africa has. But you look at what is happening. Look at what's happening now. Even the head who is running the police. And you must remember that once you have someone or you charged a big man, a big guy with ranks and with influence, remember that there are two things that say that the state is going to win or the state is still going to lose more money. Because when this guy is going to court, he's not coming alone, he's coming with an army of lawyers and not just any lawyer, coming with best lawyers. They're the books that the judge have studied. Maybe those guys are the one who wrote them. It's coming with advocates because it's a very serious case. And summoning a police commissioner. It's not a commissioner for the region. It's a national head. And it's a general by that matter. But that is how serious the case is. And also need to look at the explanation which was given, especially by the police minister, who indicated that Masemola is charged. But we have to see. What will happen, especially looking into the future. So let us listen to the acting police minister of South Africa, and we can continue.
Charged. The charges are under Section 38 of the Public Finance Management Act. So that concerns the standards that an accounting officer must meet in dealing, for instance, with procurement decisions. The others have been charged, as far as I understand it, with corruption. General Masemola has not been charged with corruption, but of course he has been charged under procurement legislation, the Public Finance Management Act, which is serious enough. Now, to your question, he is still the National Commissioner, but of course a decision has to be made about how we should respond to the fact that he has been charged. General Masemola has been charged.
Yeah, that is the acting police minister, Professor Gacharia of South Africa, indicated that the head of police South Africa is charged, and of course the decision has to be made. And that can already tell you, you don't need to be sophisticated to know that can already tell you that he has to go. And that going means either suspension or either, relief from his duty. And that's a very serious thing. The question is that who is going to be the next national commissioner? Either acting national commissioner, because you must have somebody there who is running things. Must have somebody there. People are saying no. They must appoint General Kwananzi. And, to say, is he the man for the job? Well, there are still other generals to say South Africa. There's a lot of people. There's still other general. Because Kwananzi is the only one that you see. But, it's full of top cops. But let's see what will happen moving forward. And on the other news, sounds like the Lion of Terang is appealed. Stated that Senegal has launched an appeal against the Confederation of African Football decision to strip off its 2025 AFCON title. And Senegal has also appealed of a decision, especially when a country has won African Cup of Nations. But after a month or two, almost 2 months, the decision have to be taken to say, no, you are not the winner. We are taking back the title. You are stripping from you. And what matters is not the celebration. What matters is the record. And also what matters is also the, how history is going to be written. And it seems like they are going to appear of that decision. Because there was a lot of things happen. You look at the treatment of Senegal when I was playing in Morocco. And you also look at what have happened. Especially look at their treatment. And you also look at what they did after they decided to leave, during the match, and they returned. But the question is that what will happen in the future of African football? Let's look at the caller and move forward. Good morning.
David.
Yes, how are you?
Good morning.
Morning, how are you, sir?
Fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. So let me before we go to Senegal, is it Morocco?
Senegal, yeah.
Yeah, before we got there, because those guys, they really did not behave properly.
Who did not behave properly?
The Senegalian.
Were they treated properly also?
Yeah, so you could also launch your complaint in a different platform than now getting to that way.
So how can you say they did not behave properly if they have even to retain and finish the match regardless of the treatment?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
So finish the thing and then you complain.
No, they finished the game.
Oh, is it not the final that they went to grab the ball? Which one is that?
No, they finished the game. There was a commotion, but they returned to the match. They finished, they fought, they won. Then they got the title. After a month, then they say, no, bring it back.
Yeah, it's because of the behavior that they demonstrated during that final match.
Yeah, but let's see how the decision of the appeal is going to be, because still under discussion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go and look at South Africa and Africa at large. Maybe we can also then include the BRICS ones and all those who have applied, and I'm sure they will all join. There will be those new ones that will be applying.
Join who?
Yeah?
Join who? BRICS?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They will join BRICS. Most of them, they will join BRICS.
Mm-hmm.
And they will operate as a united force. So you include the SADC, you include all those East African bloc and the ECOWAS, all of them, those blocs.
But who said BRICS is a completely better option? Why can't we look internal? Why can't we look at ourselves?
Yeah, when we are looking at, anywhere we are looking at.
Mm.
Remember, so America, Trump did not, administration did not agree with all the declaration that were adopted from the G20. Like social inclusion and all these other, many of them. They didn't agree.
Mm.
And like you said, Ramaphosa is also very busy. Very, very busy. He needs the support of many, many, many leaders. And all those declarations, we have to integrate them here into our own system, depending on our own prevailing circumstances, challenges and things like that.
But how many things are we integrating? We have integrated almost everything, but we are moving slowly. There's nothing we did not integrate.
Yeah, we just need to speed up.
Yeah?
Speed up. We need to speed up and clean some of those barriers, remove those barriers that are hindering the proper integration and all these other issues that you are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in terms of some of the commitment, I was even, remember, I think we talked about initiative, or it was with Mike, that the Prime Minister, Dr. Murari, has that initiative with the artisans, construction of the houses, building of elderly people's house, veterans. And it's a kind of a voluntary kind of a thing, as you see. Because when you hear voluntarism, we think you eat without bread. No, that's not how it is. So, and all those things, and those things must be followed up.
Like
you bringing yourself to account and bringing the leaders to account and say, please. So I'm not so sure whether the money that they were given is exhausted.
It's
money that the youth and the others. It's not only the youth, because everybody. So the youth, when you go there, the youth, they have got their own thing. Any other person who may want to become an entrepreneur can also benefit. South Africa.
It's a good observation.
Yes,
it's a good observation. Yeah? It's a good observation.
So otherwise now, can you see how South Africa is busy? And remember, who is this one? France.
Mm.
they have really acknowledged that this also under pressure. So we want to clean the internal. We are talking about internal mechanism. Mm. So these are the areas that you need to focus on. I think for you, you are more equipped than I in terms of research and all these other things.
No, I'm learning from you also, because they are going to, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but there is a 98% possibility of suspending the national commissioner because he's going to court. Well, what will happen in that? There is a big vacuum in South African police now, because everybody is acting. If you don't have a national commissioner, you don't have a deputy, you don't have a police minister. One is suspended, one is acting. And,
I understand that vacuum. When there is a vacuum in that, because you are talking about the security cluster, the heart of the country. So before you do, the way you prepare Mkwanazi, so I believe is the way you prepare, not Julius one.
Why not? You prepare who?
Not Julius one.
Nandra Mkwanazi.
Uh-huh.
But what shows that he's capable? Is he not just having a good PR? Who said he's clean? Things are not yet done.
Who says he's not? He's clean. At least he can give
it's only that he's the one who should first. But who said he's 100% clean?
Maybe those ones can be justified, because when you are fighting a war of that nature, you must behave like the Romans. If you find yourself with the Romans, and then you become a Roman, doesn't mean that you are so in the benefit of the peace and stability of the country. I believe you could have done some of those things so that he can't just go so early and leave the confusion that will come even Namibia here.
And I think it's a very good example to realize that when corruption infiltrates the system, it will destroy the system from the head to the tail. That's why you see now things are coming. How many judges are also going to be charged? Because you have all these powerful people that are now also fighting each other. Then you realize that even that who are supposed to protect the system is also under control of that system. You realize to say corruption can be very dangerous. It can look like people were benefiting when getting all these things, but now even the guy who was on top is also going.
I understand. I understand. Like I said, some of them, like many of them, they were those who were working undercover. Okay? And in order to discover most of the critical issues. And I know that many of them, they have compromised the laws, all those acts that the professors are talking about. And it's not about ignorance, no. So it's something very, very important. When you see the names are coming out, they're coming with Masomora, whatever, I'm just mentioning like they say, all those names. Then what? And that's why it's South African. Ramaphosa doesn't just act like that.
It's the most careful president I have ever seen, because you will not even see that he's under a lot of trouble. He is always smiling, but it's very dangerous. very, very, very dangerous. And I think a lot of people underestimated him.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people around him, they may be falling, but he's just smiling and continue.
Because that pressure.
No, it's
that's
tough.
Why I even...
No, it's very, 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 very tough. And the way he's, I don't know, the way he deal with things. No, if you can deal with USA, you are big. No, you are very big. No.
You're just like you.
No, like who?
Like you.
No. I'm not there. I'm just saying, if you can deal with the USA, you are building.
Because the process that you took in terms of career path and development, to equip yourself, to make sure that your skills, your knowledge is very, that's why I'm saying, that's why I'm seeing you in terms of leadership, understanding some of this,
we are still learning.
So anyway, let's support to South Africa and then let's see how we can integrate more system, especially when it comes to digitally. So because our kids now, our children, I'm more concerned of the children, so that the digitally literacy and everything. Very soon we should be seeing the children, every child, should have a computer package. But not the one that is destroying the children now. Listen, did you follow that issue of the of the media addiction?
Yeah. They are fighting tech companies, and you also understand to say, When you are saying give computer to kids, can you regulate those computers? But let's continue the conversation.
Yeah, so let me come back to you.
All right. Yeah, that is what's happening. To say Cyril Ramaphosa is one of the most careful president in the world. Say he may be going through a lot, but you will not even see it. You may think you catch him, but tomorrow you see him, and there's a lot of leadership lesson to learn also from him. He dealt with critical issues. Anything happened, he dealt with critical issues, not only post-apartheid, during apartheid, and it's happening now. You lose your friends, but you are still standing. Lose most of the people around you, and you'll be forced to fire somebody that you like. And I think it's one of the most painful things that the leaders go through. Because some of us, we want the leadership so much, we want to climb the land. But you don't know things that you deal with when you get to the top. Because firing somebody that you've been with. And imagine, there are some president who dissolve their cabinet and get a new one. Just because of situation, you realize to say, no, leadership is... It's a tough thing. It's not for everybody. It's really very tough. But I think Masemura is preparing to pack his bags and go. Because the decision, as it has been stated to say, will still be made of on the way forward. And the way forward is only to give somebody who is clean. Because you can't be the head of national police if you are still in court. Because, to compromise a lot of things. And you also intimidate those who are dealing with you. Because remember, people that are going to deal with you are the guys that you have trained, are the guys that you work with. Some of them, you treat them well. The investigators you are dealing with are not coming from outside. These are the people that that you have trained. And when they find evidence against you, remember that it's very difficult for you to get out. And I think it's going to be a very tough legal battle that we have seen in South Africa. And law students have a lot of things to learn these days, not only about international law, but there's a lot of things to learn, especially those who are studying law. There are a lot of case studies to learn. So let's look at the short commercial break. Then we'll look at the case study of Uganda, look at their economic development, and also to ask a question to say, maybe Namibia we can also learn. Maybe we are also getting there. Because they also have, and I was shocked, but so amazing to realize that they have almost the same institution as Namibia Investment Promotion Development Board in Uganda. They almost have the same institution, but that one is an agency to our government, and it's called the Uganda Investment Agency. But you realize the way they deal with things almost the same as Namibia Investment and Promotion Board, and the way they dealt with the economy, regardless of their political, partially political chaos, you can say, particularly during elections, regardless of their one state one leader who has been there for over 40 years, you realize to say there is still a lesson to learn, to say you cannot like everything about a person. And that is also the nature of life, to say, if you like everything that I'm doing, or I like everything that you do, then we have a very serious problem. But you must learn one or two things. And with Museveni, General Museveni has his weakness, but his administration has proven otherwise, particularly against all odds. Let's look at the mental health, NHP, then we can come back shortly.
Esira shisho, yotari kukwathere opo umoro kara uwasira ya kweni ochisho. Watuchi ithana basic mental health first aid course. Haiga njua oshari chamhongi kwa mboka ili iyo, iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo na hene una okutongorora omadidiriko ugo betameko yena cha nupiakadhi nenge omathidakano opama vira viro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga pamwe nangoe osho otopewa unongo kene una okuya kwathena nukuya pa ea bidhido yiri mwanjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere o unji na kene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na ipangono maradura thano ododhina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you
your health, your life, your peace of mind NHP, we're about you.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneo don, otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa, nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM. The Eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any
staff. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward. It's 3 minutes past the hour of 7, and we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Today we are looking at the case study of Uganda. And from a national perspective, when you are looking at Uganda, you look at the history of war like any other country. And Uganda before 1979, everybody read history and understand the history of, Idi Amin Dada, what he did, and also his administration. We have seen chaos, we have seen war. But the one thing that happened is that when Yoweri Museveni came to power in the 80s, when he came to power, there's a lot of things that have happened, particularly in terms of transformation. However, the world was not shocked when you look at international trade statistics, international institutions, local statistics, which indicated that when it's come to Uganda, the growth of economy is not only in terms of numbers, but in terms of what they do with their people. Because a country with 45 million people and the population, majority of their population, around 75% of that population is 30 years, it says a lot about its potential. But the interesting thing is that when it was stated that it would grow, its economy will expand in 2025 by 6%. It has actually surpassed that prediction and become one of the fastest growing economies in Africa, in the top 10. And at the center of that, it is critical things that it has done. The things that we say we are going to do is what Uganda did. Then when you are saying you want to benchmark, maybe we should go there tomorrow and see what they did. The things that we are saying we want to invest in is what Uganda invested for a very long time. When you speak about green energy, Uganda has is manufacturing cars on their own, and they are also manufacturing electrical vehicles. When you speak about you want to invest in energy, Uganda did that. When you speak about no, we cannot export, Uganda has invested in their refinery, has also invested in pipeline to connect the trade. When you are saying continental, integration, Uganda has done well with its internal integration. Yes, it has its own poverty, but the numbers and the way they dealt with issues is undeniable. Because it's stated that when it's recorded 8.5% economic growth in the last quarter of 2025, that is beyond International Monetary Fund, and your favorite minister, Minister Matthias, the guy who said the money is coming, is actually a well-experienced guy. He looks like a comedian, but when it comes to planning, he's actually very good, because he worked for African Development Bank and the international institution. He set in a lot of international financial institution, boards. Go and look at this history. Then you realize that when he say the money is coming, he meant it. And it's actually a very good thing. But when you look at revenue expectation based on what it has done, you gotta have made one thing that one thing very clear, especially what we wanted here in Namibia, to say, no man, it's not right to just look at investors, but we don't have any say. It's not right just to negotiate at a 10%. How can we come to 10%? In Uganda, you can't go there and say, we'll give you 5%.
that thing is not going to happen. It's not happening. And that is one thing that you should give credit to Museveni's administration. You can't go to Uganda and say, no, you have 5%. We have 95% because we are also giving you jobs. What they say is that when you have a construction industry, over 80% of this must come from people in Uganda. When they build their oil, the biggest project that they recently completed, which is about to be completed actually, with millions of investments, when they have built the oil pipeline, particularly to make logistics easy, they made sure that either it's domestic investment, either it's international investment, make sure that 80% of those who get direct jobs are from Uganda. You can't come with your engineers when there are engineers in Uganda. And that is actually doing them something, because they are not only growing in terms of numbers, they are growing in terms of human development. But you also ask yourself a question to say, if what we see is what we see, you also start analyzing what happened with the elections, all these things, to say sometimes we might complain to say the guy is taking for a long, maybe there are people they like him, maybe the numbers are not cooked, because the results are showing to say, yes, Museveni has been there, and it's not something that everybody should be happy about, especially when you are ending terms and people want to, the generation want to take over. But why do people continue voting this guy? Maybe they are seeing something in him, because things are coming out. And that's exactly what we are discussing today. And when we are saying they have invested in energy infrastructure, that is when Namibia is still discussing about to invest. One thing that the CEO of NCCI has stated at public private sector forum is a very powerful thing, and he stated it in a very diplomatic way. You know, when you're around the president and all these high level people, one thing that he said, to say, Madam President, you cannot develop without energy. That's what he stated, to say, no, you can't develop the country without energy. Let us invest in energy infrastructure, because when you have energy infrastructure, then you can do almost anything. It's the same with oil. When you have your own oil, you can do almost anything. When you are not buying electricity in foreign currency, you have everything. Because if we just have to win this economic battle, if we find that gap between electrification and affordability, people will not fight with non-power anymore. We will not pressuring, ECB. If we just find that gap, and that gap can only be found if we continue accelerating energy generation project, internal energy generation project, then we cut ourselves out of South Africa. Africa is going to be beaten by USA. I'm not saying I'm happy with it. I'm just seeing it coming to say they are not happy with each other. One way or the other, they will start pressuring each other. Then you also go under the table to say, guys, stop fighting. But we depend on it we depend on it. Yes, you can engage us. You can call back at 083-288-4011, 083-288-4011 to say the game plan is energy infrastructure. The game plan is internal, or self-sustaining. Because if we can speak about robotics, we can speak about AI, you can speak about all these technological things. But if you ask yourself a question to say, let me say we do what everybody wants us to do. You have all these technological devices connecting to the fastest internet in the world, then you ask yourself just one question to say, where are these devices made from? How much money am I spending on those devices? Then you get that number. Then you ask yourself a question again to say, how much money am I spending on paying for that connectivity? Then you get it right. Then you ask yourself a question to say, how much money am I paying on the electricity I'm using to charge those devices?
Then you come to the conclusion. Then you ask yourself another question to say, how much am I left with? And where is all this money going? Because you'll be shocked when you think deeply, you realize that we are just a transit of our own money, buying our own resources from other countries. You will be shocked if you ask yourself to say, where is Namibia money going? Let me give you an example. Some of you are working. Ask yourself a question to say, in the budget that we have made, how much of that spending is going to stay in Namibia? Then you get your answer. To say maybe 80% of that is going somewhere and it will never come back. Let's go to a commercial break and come back.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Morning.
Yes, Shombe.
Yes, are you?
You know when you talk about Uganda?
Yeah.
It's like you
I did what? Yeah?
Statistics found good, but the reality, my dear.
Yeah.
What is, just measure the value of Uganda shilling against the Namibian dollar.
But if you value the value of Chinese and the Namibian dollar, Chinese money?
There is a difference. There is a difference of $2 there, or almost $3.
But you are not almost the same. In the Botswana?
Look, my friend, if you have a $10 UN,
yeah,
the Chinese money, which means you have roughly 21 in Namibian dollar. Have now $1 of Namibian dollar, in Uganda you have 200 and something.
Yeah, but that is the nature of the economy, because you can also look at bring your argument. Okay, bring your argument. I want to listen.
It's 220.
Oh, okay.
So now, yeah. Maybe what made me curious is to say, look, now, but in terms of why Namibia dollar it seems to be a bit like stronger with other, compared to other African countries. In terms of the living standard of the people and the economy, that's where I'm not getting
it. No, is it not because of our good friends South Africa?
Yeah. The level of poverty and unemployment in Namibia and South Africa almost the same. The informal settlement. That's where you find the poverty and the hunger and everything. With South Africa and Namibia, it's almost the same.
But in terms of numbers, institutional standard, and also even numbers of people who are moved out of poverty per year, if you calculate, you realize that they are doing better than us.
I'm not saying Namibia is better than South Africa, but when you see these two countries, they have a lot of similarities.
I hear you.
Yeah, the difference is only population. You understand? Because number of people who are living in poverty in South Africa, they are more than the Namibian population. You understand?
I hear you.
Even the unemployment in South Africa is more than the Namibian population.
but if you are using a ratio, you understand that we are worse than South Africa in terms of unemployment.
Yes. Yeah, but what you see now in terms of the natural resources and the mining that we have in this country, you see, that's where you are going to see which are, look, at least as Namibian. The other time we were talking about Uganda or Rwanda.
Yeah, yeah.
When you go to Rwanda, and when you also see their statistics and everything and the infrastructure, especially to get, even you look at the pictures and those that are in, they will tell you a different story. Rwanda is moving. But what is it in Rwanda? What is it in Rwanda in terms of natural resources now? We have almost everything. It takes us to the issue of ownership, and I have always said it to say, look, my dear, you first need to understand how, because how this international now politics and economy influence this. Because the foundation of international economy rested on the picture. Look, Africa must all, especially Namibia, must always provide raw material, cheap labor. That is the basis. Even if you bring in a you can bring in any government.
That
is the basis. And that is where the main the fear of white men come in now. The fear of white men come in to say, because what the white men fear is anybody to come change that. That system of economy.
I want us to look at Uganda. Do you think Uganda did not make progress in terms of their development, either human development, either the way the things that they do when it comes to deals that they get into? Do you think is the same as with Namibia, the way we deal with investors?
That's what I'm saying. That one, I only check the value of the economy in terms of currency now. To say, in terms of currency, the value now, Namibia is doing better. You understand?
But today I'll argue with you to say currency sometimes does not be the only determining factor, because if you look currently now to say one Namibian dollar, in just a rough exchange to say, China is the second largest economy in the world. But when you look at the one Namibian dollar to the Chinese yuan, you realize to say we are almost even better than them. It's equal to 0. No, check. Just check now. Because it's not about the rate. No, just confirm. It's not about the rate of, it's not about the currency power. But I think it's more than that.
No, yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah.
Even if in terms of global lending, in terms of development, China is still a developing country. You understand?
Yeah, that argument is on the table, but it's on the table.
But when you use the economic and what you use all the development indicators.
Yeah, it's gone. China it's far.
Because of its population, most majority of the people, you know, that's why, I think there are gaps somewhere, because this is what we need to understand also.
I'm also trying to find out to say what is that we are not doing right? Because what is that we are not doing right? I think it's a very good question that you brought about to say what is really wrong.
But in terms of ownership, that's how I said that. Even if you own. That's where the element comes in to say, look, even if you own 80% of something, but you are still producing raw material, you did not do anything.
You are losing a lot of things.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you are still using the same formula of international political economy. That's one. To say, look, you must always produce raw material and a bit later.
You are right. And I was asking that thing of raw material is really paining us. And I was asking to say until you show me a Namibian factory that produced toothpick, then I understand that we are moving.
Because the issue here is to say, even the shareholding that you have, the government have, or any Namibian have there, is not in terms of, for instance, if you have a gold mine and you have shares there. It's not that you are going to get that gold in in raw material. No.
Mm.
You have to be given money.
No, I hear you.
You can see where is the mathematic enough.
I think you read my mathematic, because you know what I was saying the other day is that there was one argument that BON currently is they have an agreement with Novahub Mine to supply them with gold. Mm. But remember that that mine is not owned by Namibian. Namibia, we have around 7 to 10% there as a country. But you are buying gold, and you are buying that gold. You are not buying that gold in Namibian dollars.
Yeah.
And you are buying, whether you are buying refined or not, you still have to refine it somewhere. And you realize to say it's like you are taking something from your pocket to this side. You are buying, but you are, it's complicated. When you look at it, you realize to say you are even paying more, because you need also that money to get some money somewhere to buy gold, but you are buying it in your own country.
Yeah, yeah. That's why. Even if you, in terms of copper, instead of getting copper, like to say, look, okay, at least 10% of the copper must remain in the country. Mm. For what? For the local production. Adding value and whatever. Now, if you are going into this negotiation, and this is not what you are taking in on the table, what are you trying to do, say now? When are you going to build this industry? Because in reality, you were supposed to say, look, if you have gold, 10% of the gold must remain in the country for the local industry manufacturing.
I think, and copper and so forth.
It's supposed to be like that.
I think you are very right, because we may have that little percentage, and we are still fighting for that little percentage to see how is it going to be used. And it has been for a very long time.
And the funny part is, even if that 10% that you have there, sometimes you have to buy it. It brings you to the question to say, now, I know who owns these natural resources that we are paying is a state.
You know,
when the state again has to buy, or the local people have to buy this share. These are the questions that we are asking now. That's why I said that, look, here, it's a matter of you to say, look, as long as you understand Gucha, the international economy is like that. Why or not it's like that? Unless you are going to give us a new narrative to say, no, we must need to change from raw material and what. So that's why that thing, even the other day we were talking about this issue of water, of this kettle.
Yeah. You know while we are there, I think you read there is a post that was posted by Kadira Momo, legal practitioners, that is looking at the 51% local ownership rule in Namibia must not only apply in internet provider investors, but must apply in mining, oil, gas, and land ownership, and supermarkets. Or what do you think about that?
That is the idea.
It's a fair argument to say, okay. Yes, we said that Elon Musk, whether you have money or not, goodbye. No, as long as you are not adhering. Why is this thing not applying to everything?
Look, this is what we have been always especially myself. I said, look, you need the sovereign threshold. It must apply everywhere.
Yeah, but I hear it coming from your mouth a lot of times to say the sovereign threshold. Yeah.
Yeah. When you breach it, we charge you for treason.
And when
you compromise that, we charge you for treason.
And the way we dealt with Starlink, if that really can be I want to find a word that can be used across the board. I think it would be a good thing.
These people are negotiating with their emotions. You did not go there with the mandate of the state. No. You go there with your own emotion to say whether you want or not, depending on the people who are on the team. You understand? That's why you see the other people are selling cows right like that. You see? Sometimes they are 10%, what?
Yeah.
Now when it comes to Elon Musk now, you are saying, we want to say, hey. That's why I said, look, when we negotiate, the state has a mandate. known by everybody, even if it was a classified information, you understand?
Yeah.
When you are going on an exchange, you have to be told. Yeah. So look, you cannot cross this. That's why when you see those international, you know, when they are doing the negotiation, they always tell you, this one cannot be, it's not negotiable.
You can't come here.
Even if it comes on the table, it's not something under discussion.
But I also have the question to say, are we fear of losing a project, or we have a fear of not breaking that good news to say we have also done this? Because, you know, I was asking myself to say, how many projects did we reject? Because every time you are just hearing, we get into this agreement, it's a win-win. But the win-win is not on the ground yet.
You know why, before we go there, that is the bigger thing. Let's go locally now.
Yeah. Just hold on.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just 100 Namibian dollars. We also stock CCTV Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura, next to Bank Bentuk. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-3191-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 30th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We courier countrywide. Call us now.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's Easy Payday Loans, you can get up to 9,000 Namibian dollars to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
Yes, let's come locally.
You know why a lot of the innovator entrepreneurs in Namibia, they are in the street, or they are finding it difficult to get financial support and what and political support from the state.
Mm.
Because, man, when these people are coming with their ideas, man, they want this now politically and both, you know, financial support.
Yeah.
Those politicians say, how many shares that you are going to give me?
Mm-hmm.
These shares that is coming in, he's not even putting a cent. He's just asking me those shares simply because just to grant approval.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, that's why you see our economy in terms of Namibian ownership business, they are not growing. It's because
I hear you.
Yeah, remember this person has already struggled to put this finance together. Now you have a person who wants to say when he's not even putting anything.
Mm.
I hear you. When it comes now to international investment now, foreign direct investment, those guys, they imagine,
but
foreign direct, they just want a mining license. To be given a mining license. But these guys, if you want the mining license to give it to you, so you have to give us 10 million, you know?
The carpet.
We are going to make sure that we have 10% in what our company and who will come and will be responsible to do this and this in the mining.
You are making more sense. You know, your conversation is relating to when you watch that documentary of it's Fish Road documentary. What is the guy's name, the whistleblower? It's not getting Stevenson, he stated something, and it tells you a lot about how international institutions, international companies are actually working. He said, you know, the guy is asking money. He said, no, if the minister wants to be paid, pay the guy, because we want the deal. And you can just see to say, no, these guys are not genius. To say, no, how can you say that? To say, no, if the minister wants to be paid, give the cash.
That's why.
And they tell you a lot to say, no, these guys, they are the ones who are destroying us also.
That's why some of these comrades, when they are going to negotiate, they even negotiate to such extent that they want the company to sponsor their party activities and what and this is the campaign. What you want to say? It's even in the Namibia and Mutarunga, just read. This is not a local science. As we are saying.
No, Stevenson made me.
When it comes to administration and governance, it's more of a consistent. It's only the law which is consistent. Because we have to play according to the rules. Now, when we talk of that local ownership of 51% or something, where is it written? Is it a state law? Or just in the political rhetoric you guys you are telling to the people?
No, it's a good thing.
That it's applied everywhere.
No, it's a good
thing. Otherwise, it's discriminatory against Elon Musk. You see?
It's true. Now you are speaking like a legal person also to say he must also be protected.
He must also be protected. That is the discrimination that the Constitution says you must not discriminate.
Good job. If you are saying 51%, why is it only with the internet? Why not everywhere?
That's what I'm saying. That one is not a law. That's just a political campaign. Is that one? And also the value addition.
But are you saying, okay, I want 2 points to say, are you saying we have improved? Because since these things are being revealed, I think people are also learning and new things are also coming in place. Are you saying we have improved, particularly in terms of public service or public sector itself? Have we improved in terms of maybe strengthening of policy? I know there's a lot of open loopholes and all these things, but do you think we are improving or we just...
We are going there.
There's progress, ne?
But you know, the thing is, you don't know. It's like you are going to Vindu.
Yeah.
To end the Korupad. Or you should go to Africa. Or you should go to Sagopi, you know? Or
Wife
on here, we understand.
Yeah, okay.
We are going to arrive there. But
the pace is slow.
If you are going to win with a airplane, you already know 30 minutes I'm there. With a car, you already know after 8 hours, 6 hours,
I'm there.
5 hours if you are flying.
Yeah.
With the Vrupa.
Yeah.
Then if you are.
But if you are walking, but you are saying we are walking, we are not even on a bicycle.
It's
a good observation to say, okay, we are moving, but I think we are moving very slowly.
We are going.
I like that point because there are people who think we just criticize, but there are good things that are happening in Namibia. We have good public administrators also in Namibia. We can't just say But there are also...
Some of us, me, I was not taught politics. Me, I was taught governance.
I see.
For me, I don't speak politics.
I see.
As much as some people try, because some people don't understand between governance and politics, you know? So then it's one thing. No.
I see.
You see, because me, you need to understand state governance.
You are dealing with institutions.
Because you are dealing with institutions.
I hear you.
Look, that's why I said that. Government is just one. The state is just one. Now when you go to the agriculture, in terms of ownership threshold or sovereign threshold, there's nothing. When you go to this office, no, the government has nothing. Where is that now? Where is the balance?
I hear
that's
you.
Why you said, we have people who are negotiating with it's a personal thing to them. Né?
Okay.
When they are sitting there negotiating on behalf of the state, they are not negotiating on behalf of the state. Mm-hmm. They are negotiating on their own behalf. Né? What they are going to get. That's why you see my Chinese friends. Né?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you guys you don't understand mm-hmm. between the Americans and the Chinese. Mm-hmm. Né? Mm-hmm. Europe.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese. This is a difference in terms of the negotiation.
Mm.
And, you know,
no, because
for the Americans to give you money, foreign direct investment, number one, you must have a democracy in your country. Mm. You have elections.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Number two, you must accept the gender. What?
Gender, women rights thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are just two things that I mentioned.
Mm.
So, the Chinese, when they are on the table,
mm.
they don't care about whether they're democrats or not. They don't care about your system of governance.
Oh, you have a gun, yes. You have a gun on the table, they don't care.
Number two, yeah. They don't care whether you are gender issues or what.
Which color are you?
No. For them, they just want the deal. Ne?
Yeah.
But really, when it comes to the other aspect now, where they all meet, and that is where the difference is now, mm. the biggest difference.
Mm.
You know when they give you money,
mm.
you have to go take money from where? The IMF, World Bank, all those things. You have to accept their conditions. See, you have to buy materials, you know, from their country. Ne? They give you even the tenders now.
Mm.
Ne? The money have to be shared within the tenders now. Those that are promoting the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the Chinese, are saying, no, as we are not going to give you money,
mm-hmm.
we are just going to give for you an airport because you want an airport. Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. That's the biggest difference.
Oh, it's
now, the argument they say now, mm-hmm. why? Because they say, no, we also have this, an economy to grow. We have also a nation to feed. Mm-hmm. We also unemployment
to deal with.
We also have to protect and promote our innovation.
All right, time.
Now let me conclude.
Okay.
Because the Chinese are saying,
yeah.
you want us to give us our money that we sweat for to go buy things from the American companies and what.
Mm-mm.
Hell, you cannot do. That's why you end up to say, look, these guys end up taking price mm-hmm. just to make sure they get the tender.
Mm-hmm.
Lastly, that is totally different from politics now. No, I was listening to the president on the issue of better registration without. But sometimes we are just too lazy. That's why, to such extent that, you know, when the law is there, we quick to change it. Why? But we are too lazy to just to find out which are. If the law on if Okanotaka Ningroza Paisar, whatever, the father must be there.
Mm.
Maybe the father must be there, or the child must have the same on the hand. You understand? In some culture like ours. Now, if you are telling me now to say, look, Yina, because if the father is not there, the child is going to have the same on the mask. That is a breach to the culture, my friend.
I hear you.
You are violating our culture.
I hear you.
Yeah, but we are saying, have you conducted the research to find out, before we change the law, you were supposed to, why men are not always there?
It's a very good argument, and it also bring you in trouble to say, why are they not there? And my question can also to say, is it really that they don't want to be there?
Yes, because, that's it, right. Waharunona, putuka ulikoma kokosene na loina. Parapanti wakarone, there's no pride there. Ne? Oto, notani kemo society, I know, taku tu ananda kuri aye. But some pagas they are responsible, and they are still paying maintenance.
Yeah.
Maruka no kuriko fali aina.
Yeah. But sometimes it can also be, you know, a deceiving strategy. You find somebody who, the kid is moving from Paulo's house to Matthias' house or Matthias' house. You know that time at the village where a lady got pregnant, there's always this thing of, okufare punda. So, no, she's coming from Peter's house. Now she's at Matthias. Now she's coming to David to say, what?
what happened in that situation sometimes can also be a strategy of deceiving, and it's bringing a lot of problems. I support the point that you say to say when it comes to culture and other things.
Maybe that's why I said that we have people who doesn't understand it. And I have asked one. Does the woman that law this act of parliament that lawman less law oriented came to replace our customer disruption?
And the other question is also that to what extent did we contribute to the laws? To what extent did we just copy and paste? Or that's why we are always fighting each other.
Tara.
Yeah.
So that the president and I Okuno Panya. What is that of any?
No.
Yeah. Because for her to accept that. Because you can't. It's a good way to see my that's in your own when you are not on the same thing.
No, I hear you.
You are always the child of your father and your mother. Even before
that paper, okay.
You guys are talking about it.
Let's look at the paper and our time. Thank you, Ne.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Lazarus. It's always good to have a critical conversation. Let's look at...
Your bank would never rush you to authorize a transaction. If you didn't start it, don't approve it. Call 061-299-1200. Bank Windhoek, a member of Capricorn Group.
Yes, we are continuing the conversation. We are indicating to say this is it's a morning conversation, our program, to say if the debate is not provoking your thinking, it's not an educative debate. You must learn one thing. You must sit down and ask yourself. And he brought a very good argument to say, you guys are discriminating. Who are discriminating Elon Musk? Why are you only applying this thing to internet, not to everything? And it's quite a right argument to say. And if you read, I was reading it, what Gadela Momo has posted to say, this thing should be applied across the board. It's to oil, to mining. If we are standing there to say, if you are dealing with our resources, we must have shares in there. And the argument is very clear. And the debate must also let you think and rethink again and say, no, I think it's actually making sense. To say, yes, there may be different arguments, but if it's about the resources, it's about ownership. Why things are different in terms of ownership? Why it's the same state, same law, different application. But at the end of the day, we must find a way. Yeah, let us look at what is on the Villager newspaper today. On top of the page, Namibia economy has only expanded by 14.1 billion in 10 years. We've expanded just by 14.1 billion in 10 years. You must compare with other countries. How did they expand? What are some of the circumstances? And the question also that you also need to ask yourself is that where is the leak? Because if you do the rough calculation, although you cannot just the rough calculation of financial circulation within the domestic market, then you do the rough calculation also of investment coming in. You look at the output. You understand that there must be a leak somewhere. There must be a leak somewhere because this is what is recorded. There is also what we call a shadow economy or a black market economy that is very difficult to understand too. That's why, when you look at this thing, we must really expand to say at what level and what is the impact of that too. Page 3, that is Woman Block and Easter. Said, you'll be able to get your items there. Either you want a mixed portion of Kandila chicken, you want Polana macaroni, of 5 kg just at 125, or you want Coke 2 liter just at $21 million, and a lot of good cheap things. And looking at our page 4, to say South Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and have combined to meet, Namibia, electricity. That we are saying, for us to survive, we depend much
one of our good friends, stated that in January 2025, South Africa, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and Southern Power Pool combined to supply 53.3% of Namibia electricity, according to the monthly statistics by NSA. And, we continue to depend on our friends and neighbors. The question is, for how long? And just to be a pessimist, to say if USA continue to be angry with SA, and they decided to squeeze them a little bit, just a little bit, like what they do, they bring you to a deal with a threat, economic threat, are we also going to feel that pain? And what happened if South Africa also want to survive? Because they start increasing their price, they want to survive because they are also not finding it, better. What would happen to us? Yeah, looking at page 6, it's an article by Lois Sashimi that is looking at Kavango's home affairs to reduce 140 kilometer travel. And these are the development that we are speaking about, to say people don't need to travel their whole life to come closer to service, and bringing service to the people. It's quite a very good thing, especially looking at the opening of Kavango West, Home Affairs office, which is a very beautiful thing. There's a lot of things happening there in terms of development. Say Kavango is also coming out from behind, especially in terms of development. To say it's a country with there's been a region, now two regions, with high population, but when it comes to poverty, it has been stricken by poverty for a very long time. But I think looking at services, something that needs to be applauded. Page 7, you have a vacancy for a general manager at Namibia Poultry. You want to be a general manager at Namibia Poultry, especially at NPI Farming. Be able just to read the villager newspaper, and you understand what to do, especially in terms of application. Stated that previously disadvantaged Namibians, women are encouraged to apply for the position. You just need an advanced diploma or a bachelor's degree in animal science or a bachelor's degree in agriculture or related field. Then 10 to 15 years of proven experience in poultry production. Because this is a bigger post, a general manager at Namibia Poultry. And after you get that, then you get job, and you continue producing for Namibia. Page 8, country fuel supply situation to be known today. Modestus Samtse is preparing his speech, and I don't know what will happen, but the fate of the oil situation and oil supply will be defined today. To say the Strait of Hormuz reach us, or it's going to be business as usual, or we are also going to apply that subsidization. Are you going to defend? We don't have tools to defend, but a prediction. But we have to wait and see, particularly looking at the price of petrol, the price of diesel. We're also looking at our reserve. Maybe it's also a lesson to learn, to say in terms of reserves, do we need to build another reserves? Do we need the refinery, as Colas also indicating? What can we learn from this? Because this is a real situation that Namibia must learn. Because if we cannot learn during COVID, we cannot learn during a drought, we cannot learn during the Middle East war, then we will never learn. I think this is the time to learn. But today, be on the lookout, especially with news, to say what the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy will say today, especially looking at the situation of the price of oil, and also what is in there, in our storage. Or we are at that point where children are not allowed to go to the storage anymore. For that time, the Mahangu storage, you are allowed, you know, in the first season of harvesting, you are allowed to go and look and assist the parents. But when they realize, to say, no, things are going down, you will not be allowed anymore. But what is in the storage? Yeah, looking at page 9, there's an executive appointment to say, executive appointment of the Vice Chancellor. The Council of Revitia University is pleased to announce the appointment of Professor Marius Hendibi as a University First Vice Chancellor, effective the 1st of April 2026. You realize to say, Revitia University is expanding, has grown its wings and capacity, and Professor Hendibi will be called the Vice Chancellor. And that is also telling you a lot about the expansion of the university. And he's a well-known academician and also a scientist with various experience in governance. And apart from a PhD in microbiology, he also has a Master of Science in Applied Biology and a Bachelor of Science in Chemistry and Biology. So he's a real scientist. And has a lot of training in leadership, governance, and also coaching. And to say Valvicia is in good hands. But you also start seeing that when it comes to Namibians, we are well educated. We are well educated. Look at the numbers of professors that we have, and the numbers of academic PhDs and the master's degrees. Even an honors degree or a bachelor's degree. Those days, you know, when you hear, we are at the village and you hear, no, that guy has a diploma. People are running and they are bringing the chair to say, no, this one has a diploma, he's educated. But now you look at Namibia, you see that with education, we are really educated. But the question is also about what can we do with our education. But you can really see that in terms of academic, we are progressing. Like Lazarus has stated that we are moving, but apparently we are footing. But progress is progress. Maybe the time will come when we get there. So we really have educated people in Namibia. That's why it's one thing that Vusi Tembekwa stated. And if you go and listen, especially when he came to Namibia speaking about the economy, the budget, and all these things, it's something that he stated to say, Namibia, you must stop importing, experts. You have good people here. What he's saying is that, in simple terms, you did not even need me to be here to tell you this, because you have people who are better than me or compete with me. And I think he was impressed by the presentation of Namibian people to say we have really educated people in Namibia. And our education system has really worked. Say, no, you don't need to import experts. You like importing experts from South Africa. You must stop it. And it's also shocking for somebody who is also come at that level to say, no, you don't even need me here. Use your people. Use Namibian people. And there's an article on harnessing artificial intelligence for national development. Harnessing artificial intelligence for national development to say, if you want to develop this country, look at the AI to say it's an evolving technology. It's involving advancement in terms of technology and robotics to say you want to develop, harness that technology. And you can get more information in the Villager newspaper. Hello?
David, we did not finish the one of my minutes. I think it's a minute that is left.
Okay. Let's conclude. I want to ask you a question. Do you share the Villager newspaper?
No.
It's not a difficult question. Do you share the Villager newspaper with people in your contacts? Do you encourage them to read the paper?
Yeah, man, I think
I want to give you a task today. Just share to 10 people, your WhatsApp, 10 people, right. and share, and at least they get one or two things.
It's true, my brother.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, my son, for reminding me that thing. It's very, that paper is very rich.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So let's use this 2 minutes wisely. Yeah.
I feel that the combination of physics and biology and the geography, that is what is mostly prevailing in our schools, né? And then you find out that chemistry is not there. Somebody who is doing biology, chemistry, physics, and mathematics, those are the people that you can groom even to get into green hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
So now the problem is the combination. It's just it's confusion. Because when you go to school, most of these schools, you ask them.
Mm.
I don't know whether the urban schools are maybe having that three combinations, maybe mathematics.
Mm.
But this course is physics and biology. Some of them, they are doing biology and geography. Of course, development study, maybe, or languages.
So you are saying the combination of subjects is not utilized.
To me, it's not right.
When you are combining subjects.
Yes, the way they are doing it now. I don't know other schools, but many of the schools that I have asked are questioning students. They are telling me, no, I'm doing biology and the physics and the geography. Why they say, why can't you then do physics? Physics, biology, chemistry, and the mathematics.
But they are still at the foundation, right? They will get there when they go to universities.
Foundation, the foundation at the second, when you are in the secondary, senior secondary education, that you don't have that combination.
You are still not a professional. You get it. Do you know that nobody will stop you? You know somebody who. And you find it at university also. It give you a competitive advantage, but you find somebody who did purely science end up doing social science or
natural science.
Yeah.
If you want to combine scientists, biologists, those forensic science, those who will be working in science, forensic science laboratories, you need to do chemistry, physics, mathematics, and some other subjects.
I think we need to bring an education expert one day to discuss that.
So if you start from the, you should start from the foundation, from the seniors, junior secondary school, you are already preparing junior secondary school. You need to come to now the senior secondary education.
Mm-hmm.
So that combination may create a good combination for the learners.
Otherwise
they have no option to do the best, the things that are, the subjects that are very critical.
I'm not saying that social science... I get where you are coming from. I think we must really bring, somebody, an education expert, because that thing is also confusing. Combination, it's difficult to combine. You also find... some schools do not also have, those fields, but yeah, we'll get it.
So I think we need to take it up with those who are developing curriculum developers and all these other ones and see whether if there is a need for teachers in physics there. You can get those ones whom you call non-qualified.
And you must always stay on the background. It does mean that when you retire, you don't advise. You must always give advisory because... if you are coming from that area, you must always advise, especially utilization of wisdom of people who retire. And I think it also should be respected in Namibia to say, when people are retired, it does not mean that they should go to their farm. Advisories are also needed.
Yeah, we organize them one day so that they can have a platform. And then we coordinate their effort and use their energy.
Thank you, Ne.
We go to their houses there, that they are nice, Angora. We go to knock them their door. So thank you very much, Ne.
Right. Yes, we are saying advisory matters to say when somebody retired, must be advised. And those are the backbone of wisdom. Say, elders and the young one must work. And if you ask yourself a question to say, look at the, I like giving an example of Iran, because there's a lot of things to learn, especially in terms of how they structure their system. To say, do you think people who are building drones are the old guys?
The old guys are dealing with the leadership issues. You don't even see the young one. You just see the general after the other. When one goes down, you see the generals. They made sure that their generations, their smaller guys are behind learning. But this one remains at the top at the advisory level. But yeah, well, let's wait what that the Modestus will say today. The Minister of Mines will say. And also we deal with it when we get there. We have an economy to build. But I'll leave you in the good hands of the big mic to unpack the day. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. Shop, shop.